If you've ever traveled with small children, you've probably experienced that, "Are we there yet?" when they ask it over and over and over again. Even today, with all the technology in the world at their fingertips and DVD players and iPads and all of that, long journeys still seem to bring out the whiny and the curious side of the ones who are not in charge of the journey. Even some adults on a long road trip will fidget and fuss and wish and long for the end of the journey. If you travel a long distance, then you often experience a sort of overwhelming relief when you see the end, when you see your destination ahead. For me, when I traveled a long distance home, the first glimpse of Ashland, Kentucky across the river always begins this feeling of excitement, though I know I still have about 2.5 hours to go. And it builds as I get closer. I often say that the worst part of a road trip is the last part, because you're so close, but you're still so far away. You know what I'm talking about. But when I get off that last exit, and I'm only a few minutes from home, and I start driving those familiar roads that I've known my whole life, I begin to really feel it, the excitement. The destination is just ahead. I'll finally be there soon. You know that feeling, right? I'm almost there. In our scripture reading today, we hear the familiar story of the Magi, the wise men, the philosophers of old, who, upon seeing a star in the sky, embark on a long, perilous journey. And as they head out on this journey, they're thinking their destination is the palace in the capital city of the land of the Jews. At this point, you'll notice that the star is not leading them directly at this point. They see the star and they know that it means that a new king of the Jews has been born. So they head off to the place where you would find a newborn king of the Jews. The star is a signal, a sign, a witness to the birth of this new king, and they wish to pay this king homage. We're not told why they wish to go and see this new king. Did they know that he was more than just a king? Did they realize that something special had occurred? Their knowledge was vast, but it was also limited. So they arrive at the palace and they request to see the newborn king of the Jews. Where is the newborn king of the Jews, they ask. They had probably felt some sort of relief upon drawing near to the palace. Their journey, it seemed, was at an end. The star was still in the sky. The sign that had led them here had not disappeared. But when they arrive and ask their question, they are met with confusion and fear. No child has been born to King Herod lately, so who could they be referring to? Herod also, we see, has some level of knowledge. He knows enough to realize that the arrival of these men asking this question surely means that the Messiah has been born somewhere in the land. But we see that his knowledge is limited also, because he has to go and ask the chief priests and teachers of the law where the Messiah was to be born. He was informed that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and so he sends the Magi off, their journey still not complete. As they headed toward their final destination, now the star that had been assigned to them begins to move and direct them to exactly where they need to go. Why had the star not led them to this house in the first place? Is it possible that God had used the arrival of the Gentile Magi to announce to the high and mighty in Jerusalem that the Messiah had come? After all, they knew where the Messiah was to be born, but they weren't looking for him at this time. When they were asked where the new king was, they immediately began thinking of the Messiah, but until the question was asked, they weren't thinking of it. Herod and the religious elite recognized that this meant the Messiah was born when the Magi arrived. So could it have been intentional that the star did not begin leading them directly until after the Magi had visited the palace? And if so, why? Did the Magi have to do the work of consulting the scriptures, which they did upon arriving, to have enough knowledge to understand fully what they were there for? Was the star unable to lead them until they understood where exactly they were actually going? The scriptures say this: after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. It was not upon entering the house and seeing the toddler Jesus that they first began to feel joy. It was not upon finally arriving and reaching their destination. The star showed them the way to the newborn king of the Jews. It directed their steps. It led them directly to their destination. And before they even got off their donkeys or camels or unloaded their bags, they were overjoyed. Much like we might begin to feel excitement at the signs that our destination is near, that our journey is almost over, they were overjoyed when they saw that the star had stopped over the home they were to visit. But before they enter the home, let us pause here in this moment in the story and ask what significance this might have for us. What could it possibly mean for us that these magi who traveled such a long distance, who had followed signs and signals from the stars, who had consulted with the king and high religious officials, who had consulted scripture and followed that word, who had received divine guidance in the form of a star that moved in a supernatural, unforeseen way, what could it mean that they were overjoyed before they reached the end of their journey? My friends, we are each living a journey of our own. From the day we are born until the day that we die, our journey does not end. At various times along our journey, we will accomplish great or small things. We will have many endings and many new beginnings. We will meet many people on our journey. Sometimes our journeys will lead us places we never imagined we would go. Some of our journeys are more perilous than others. Some of our journeys take us to faraway lands, and some keep us close to home. But we're all on a journey, and we cannot reach our destination this side of death. We can feel the Spirit of God in our lives. We can learn to see the reflection of God in the faces of everyone we see. We can learn to listen for the voice of God when it speaks in the silence. We can dream and we can imagine what the kingdom of God will look like. But my friends, until we pass through the great equalizer or Jesus returns, we, like the Magi, standing overjoyed that the star has stopped, are standing outside the house. We cannot yet go in and see the Lord with our waking eyes. We cannot see the King in all His glory. That is why we have faith. That is why we believe in what we have not yet seen. But my friends, the Magi were overjoyed when they saw that the star had arrived, that they were drawing near to the king they had come to see. They knew that up ahead they would witness something amazing. And so they were overjoyed, but they had not yet seen it. And so, my friends, we learn that we too can be overjoyed to be near to our destination, even if we cannot yet see it. We can be overcome with happiness at the thought of the kingdom's full arrival. We can welcome the idea that one day we will worship at the throne of God and that one day we will see God in all God's glory, and we can do this in faith, even though we have not yet seen it. In times such as those we are living through today, it can be hard to believe that there is good that is coming. It's hard to find joy when the world is literally on fire. When another week brings another story of a violent action like a church shooting or a hate crime, when politics seem to be how we decide if we can love each other or not, when we're on the brink of war and everyone has an opinion about why and they can't stop shouting at each other long enough to listen, when millions sleep on the streets homeless And when untold numbers of children are forced to do hard, impossible physical labor that we might have our cheap toys and electronics and coffee. When more people than ever before are fleeing homes that are not safe, only to find that everywhere they go, they are unwelcome and unwanted. When children as young as 7 and 8 are used as soldiers in wars that have no need to be fought, the list could go on and on. In the face of such evil and hatred and prejudice and bigotry and greed and violence, it's hard sometimes to find joy, and it's around us constantly. You can't escape the news. And it's hard to continue believing in that which we have not yet seen. Like the song that impacted millions, I can only imagine. All we have is what we can imagine. We can imagine what it will be like to stand before the throne of God. And we can imagine what it will be like to finally enter the house and stand in the presence of the one who created all things and made a way for the salvation of all things. We have a dream. We have a vision. We have what we imagine the kingdom of God and what we imagine heaven to be. And we have an idea of what it will look like to stand in God's presence. But we're not there yet. But my friends, today is Epiphany Sunday. It's the day we celebrate the revelation of God in the incarnate Jesus. The Magi had a star that led them to their destination. And like the Magi, we too have signs that will lead us to God. Epiphany is a celebration of the fact that God did not wish to stay some far-off God whom no one had ever seen. God did not wish to remain some pie-in-the-sky ideal. God did not want to be at a distance from God's creation. It's a celebration of the fact that God chose to reveal God's self, that we too might have a way to draw near to the King of all peoples. Our journey may be long, or it may be too short. It may be perilous or fairly easy. We may travel it alone or surrounded by others who travel every step with us. But whatever our journey looks like, we too can see the God that God has revealed to the world, that we might all come to know God. The question we all must ask ourselves is, will we be like the Magi who saw a sign that pointed toward God and followed it without hesitation, consulting Scripture to find answers, believing that God would lead them where they needed to go? Or will we be like Herod and the religious elite who heard of the signs, who knew what they meant and yet chose to remain behind and continue pursuing the life they had, opposing anything that would change it? We might be left standing outside the house on this side of death, staring at the place where the star has stopped. But will we allow that to discourage us? Or will we draw steadily nearer to the place where God is waiting, allowing ourselves to be overcome by the joy that accompanies drawing nearer to our destination? My friends, this Epiphany Sunday, when God reveals God's self and God's will to you, what will your response be? Amen.